This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, presented by DraftKings. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Hope you're having a nice week as we welcome in December and head into a huge weekend. College football, big weekend starts tonight, of course, with the conference championships there in Vegas with Dustin Sweetle sitting probably just a few miles down the road at Allegiant Stadium off the strip. You've got the Pac-12 championship with a rematch. We all wanted it. We're going to get it. And that is, of course, Washington and Oregon. Oregon laying a big number there. We're going to welcome in Essen Kasem here to the show. Tallahassee Democrat, KnowlesSports.com writer. Essen does a great job. You can find him, Essen_Kasem, on Twitter. And the reason I wanted to, first off, Essen, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Happy holidays. The reason I wanted to bring you on because I feel like the Florida State angle has been underreported nationally. Of course, if they win, they should get into the Final Four, missing their star quarterback. This number obviously has been affected by Rodemaker's potential injury against Florida. So this number, Florida State got all the way up to 3.5. And as we sit here right now, it's Florida State laying 1.5 against Louisville. Let's start there with the backup and Rodemaker. What do we know about his health?
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, you know, he took a hit sandwiched between two Florida defenders. One was ejected for targeting on that play. He left for a couple plays. Mike Norvell just wrapped up his press conference and mentioned that Rodemaker went through the protocols on the sideline, came back, was cleared by the medical staff, and then he started feeling some symptoms on Sunday. He was limited in practice this week, did some non-contact stuff, but nothing that suggested early in the week from what we saw from media practices that he would be, would miss the game. But obviously, if he's not been cleared yet, that's a major, major red flag. And we're sitting here Friday evening, and we have not heard more, one way or another. It's not a great sign for his chances.
Let's talk about the big picture. Okay, there were a lot of expectations. Norvell's done a hell of a job as he slowly built a prestigious program back to the forefront here in Florida State. But big picture, obviously with Travis going down, absolutely crushes, I'm sure, the fan base. But let's talk about that fan base and what they think. If they beat Louisville, they're going to be undefeated, Power Five. You know, they've never missed a team in that particular situation, never missed the Final Four. What's the narrative right now around the Florida State team?
Yeah, I think a lot of people believe that they should be, if they win, they go undefeated. They go through an ACC schedule with wins over LSU, you know, at Clemson, Duke, when they were ranked at the time, you know, and then obviously a very talented Louisville team, which has done a great job of a turnaround in year one under Jeff Brom. They believe that they should be in, and I tend to agree with them. I think if you go undefeated, that's the way we play the regular season. I get the best players not playing, but they're not going to be able to play in the game, but the team around them is really good, and I think the team is deserving. It's not a football is a team sport, and at the end of the day, the quarterback does matter. It's the most important position. But if Florida State goes undefeated, they've passed every test that's been thrown at them. They deserve to be in the college football playoffs.
Essen, Brock Glenn is the third string quarterback on this team. Like, not many programs can go out there with a third stringer and still compete. What do you know about him? What have you seen from him, if you've seen anything from him? And is he good enough? Because, you know, Rodemaker's a guy who's been in the program for a couple of years despite being a backup. Is Brock Glenn a guy capable of getting the ball, those two NFL receivers on the outside?
I believe he is. You know, he plays a ton of confidence. He's a freshman, an early enrollee who got in early and impressed. Like, the coaches, the entire coaching staff is just thrilled by his enthusiasm, his passion to learn. And he did a really good job to start off with. And he showed maturity, poise throughout the spring into the fall. Against Southern Miss, he banged his thumb and hurt it and missed multiple weeks, which hurt his development probably a little bit. I think if he played all season, he might be the direct backup to Jordan Travis. So that's how good he can be. But he's still a freshman who's going to make freshman mistakes. We've seen that in practice. So it'll be interesting to see if he's thrown in the fire, how he reacts, because he does have the talent to get the ball to Wilson and to Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson, or Jaheim Bell, the tight end. But he just has to be able to, trust the process, trust that offensive line, and just not make freshman mistakes when he's out there.
Yasin Kassem joining us covering Florida State, Tallahassee Democrat, NobleSports.com, talking about, of course, ACC championship game, Louisville, Florida State. That number has been affected by Rodemaker's injury, down to 1.5. We saw it as much as Florida State laying 3.5, so a big shift there through the key number of 3. Essen, let me ask you about Norvell in time frame. You know, this is I'm 45 years old, much older than the two of you, grew up with a very proud Bowden program, and then obviously Jimbo with the national championship, some lean years, and now here we are again. This is year 4, a 12-0 record. Is this right about what Norvell had expected to start to peak here around year 4? Is it on track?
It seems like it's on. I think they knew it was going to be a long rebuild. It's not going to be a overnight thing. We saw, you know, they had a shortened COVID season when they went 3-6, went 5-7 in year 2. That loss to Jacksonville State was devastating. They turned it around. You know, started that season 0-4, finished 5-3 to finish the season. Only reason they probably lost to Florida was because on the road was because Jordan Travis went down with an injury during that game. Could have had an even better start end to the season. Obviously, last year, 10-3, where they had a little bit of growing pains in the middle of the season, but end of the season with 6 straight wins, have won 12 in a row, 18 in a row. So I think they are probably right around where they want to be. Obviously, the Jordan Travis injury probably takes away the championship expectation, not the expectations, but the chances. They're not going to admit that they're done ever, as no program should, right? But yeah, I mean, they are right on track. And now what I'm most impressed about is, you know, Norvell has built this team through a transfer portal and lower-level high school recruits, 3 stars, low 4 stars. But now he's bringing in the number 3, number 4 class in the country, depending on which site you look at. So he's done a great job of just rebuilding the program through the transfer portal, and now he's getting in elite recruits. So I think this is just the beginning of what Florida State can do under Norvell.
You know, week one, this team, this Florida State squad, opens with a massive win over then number 5 LSU. But throughout the year, Essen, we've seen some moments where you really question what's going on because they're so talented, but struggling with Boston College, struggling with Pitt, and then Miami, who's not very good. You know, that was a late game, 1-touchdown contest. And because the schedule hasn't been so difficult for them this year, do you have any concerns about the Seminoles maybe peaking too early in their season?
I think that's a fair thing. Like, you know, they keep telling us after the game, they're like, oh, wait till we play a complete game. Wait till we play a complete game. I'm like, you're 12 games in. What does that mean at this point? They might have played their best game against LSU. I think that might be, you know, or Southern Miss the first 2 weeks and they scored 45 and 66 respectively. That might have been their 2 best games because we have not seen a complete game where they just dominated a team from start to end outside of maybe Wake Forest on the road, which is an impressive win. But once again, like you mentioned, not a great Wake Forest team. A little bit of struggles again. You know, we fell down 13-0 against North Alabama, 12-0 against a not very good Florida team. So I do have think maybe they might have peaked too early. And unfortunately, that's how their schedule is set up, where they had 2 top 10 games in the first 4 weeks.
Let me get a prediction before we say goodbye here, Essen. Florida State, Louisville, what do you got? ACC championship game.
Oof. So can I give you 2 predictions if he plays and if not?
Of course you can. Go for it.
All right. So I had 31-24 Florida State. No, sorry, 34-27 Florida State if Tate plays, if Rodemaker plays. If he doesn't play, still go Florida State wins, but I'll go much lower score. Let's say 27-24.
Well, that's all we need because we just need to figure out. We're just at this point, we're clearing 1 with Florida State laying it. So you did exactly what we needed. Essen Kassem, Tallahassee Democrat, NobleSports.com, Essen_Kassem on Twitter. Enjoy the game, Essen. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Okay. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Now, a couple of things, big guy. And I want to talk about this because I've heard so much that one player, and Jordan Travis is a terrific talent, maybe the best player in the ACC, but one player does not make a team, and you continue to hear the propaganda. Go ahead.
One player is the reason they beat Clemson in Death Valley.
Can I finish? Can I literally get my thought out? The defense is among the best in the nation at getting to the quarterback. We know it. The offense doesn't turn the ball over. The D takes it away enough. But going back to what you just said, I'm not a child. We're going to pretend like the quarterback isn't the engine and the do-everything dude for this team. Any way you want to paint the offense, doesn't give the ball away, well-balanced. It's all because of one person, Jordan Travis. When we start handicapping college football, and specifically the NFL for the most part, but both sports, obviously, when we start handicapping college football and the NFL, we always talking about win totals. We start with one player. That's it. And we always preface it, literally every handicapper and every pundit, preface it by saying this. It all comes down to the health of the quarterback. So I hear from Florida State people, yeah, but we're not here just because of Jordan Travis. You are legitimately 12-0 because of Jordan Travis. The rest of it is nice. The rest of it's nice. That's the reason coaches literally keep their jobs for decades because of one recruit in one recruiting period, a quarterback. Sorry, go ahead.
Quarterback's worth most to the point as well, point spread as well. And Jordan Travis, it's not even just his physical abilities. It's his mentality. It's his calmness. It's his demeanor. It's his leadership. He literally willed them on the road at Clemson to that overtime win that they had no business winning. Jordan Travis was as much a coach on the field as Mike Norvell is on the sidelines. They're going to miss him tremendously, even though I love Tate Rodemaker.
The Rodemaker adjustment, price adjustment, is 3.5 down to 1. Imagine what Jordan Travis is worth. Let's come back and discuss. What would the number be, Louisville, Florida State, with Jordan Travis in there? Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, become a VSIN Pro for as low introductory offer for $9.99 right now. VSIN.com/subscribe. You get everything. Subscriber Pro Tools, Pro Picks at a glance, Pro Tips, everything we offer for $9.99 just to get started. I encourage you to check it out right now over at VSIN.com/subscribe. We got you back here on Sharp Money. So we were asking the question, Dustin Sweetelson live from the D. He's going to give us an update. It appears the Pac-12 has invaded the D on Fremont Street in downtown Las Vegas because he's got a lot of jerseys circulating, which we'll get to in a second. We'll talk more about the Pac-12. We've got our buddy Brooks Austin, who legitimately, I think he's part of the Georgia program as closely as he covers it, so nobody's going to have his finger on the pulse of SEC like Brooks Austin coming up in just a bit. But we were talking about, so let's go through the math here. So Dustin and I just both texted two different bookmakers. Dustin texted our DraftKings bookmaker, Brennan White, and I texted, of course, the Borgata's Thomas Gable. And so here was our question, Dustin. So 3.5, it got up to 3.5 with Rodemaker, the backup to Jordan Travis there at Florida State against Louisville, right? So it's down to 1. So essentially what the books are saying or what the market's telling you is that's a 2.5-point difference with the backup and then the backup, the third stringer, right? So that's 2.5. I got to think you got to add at least 3.5 for Jordan Travis. I think we were saying Dancy between 6.5 if Jordan Travis is playing for Florida State against Louisville and 7. I'm going to say it gets there all the way to 7 at the book. You want to stick with 6.5?
Yeah, 6.5 was the number that jumped out to me initially. Just, I don't know, there's still the Brohm factor, right? As good as Jordan Travis is, Jeff Brohm has this weird knack, man. If a team is hyped up and thinks they're going to the playoff or national championship, he's somehow going to knock them down. You look back at his career, 3-0 versus the top three. I know Florida State's ranked 4, but he beat number 2 Ohio State in 2018, beat number 2 Iowa in 21, beat number 5 Michigan in 21, and beat number 3 Michigan State in 2022. Like, this guy, for whatever reason, if some team thinks that they're the best in the country, he can find a way to mess up their whole plan.
You know what's funny about that? As I was talking to Staples about that, and it's almost like you don't know which way to go with the angle on Brohm, because what he would do at Purdue is he'd win a game he wasn't supposed to win.
Yes.
But then he'd lose a game he absolutely wasn't supposed to lose. Now, he's well ahead of schedule at Louisville this year. We had our buddy Brock Verena on plenty, and he told us it's one of the fastest teams he's ever seen. So he obviously had a lot of speed. So, but if we're going to enter into the formula what you just said about Brohm, this is a game. Now, the point spread doesn't necessarily indicate it, but this is a game. Florida State, obviously undefeated, expected to win it. So this is where Brohm would jump up and bite you. So to your point, this might be a Brohm game. But my assumption is we'd be close to a full touchdown if Travis, maybe the best player in the ACC, was playing in this matchup. I saw you look at your phone, so that might have been your answer coming in from Brennan.
No, I do not have an answer yet. I was just looking because, you know, we spoke to Jeff Brohm years ago, you and I, back in 2017. I was seeing if it was before or after this started, and it turns out we caught him before he started taking down all these monsters.
So there'll be a little bit of a flex here because, now, I wrote him after – but I got a message out to TG, bookmaker in Atlantic City. You've got a message out to Brennan White, B-Dubs, bookmaker, DraftKings. It's now a race of ego. Like, who gets the response first?
But, you know, I made things awkward with Brennan, right? I kind of asked him out on a mandate, right? I don't know him that well. I've never met him in person. And last week after he came on, you know, Thanksgiving week, it's a crazy time. I was like, hey, man, you want to grab beer sometime? We live near each other. And he didn't reply. You know what he hit me with? The double tap. He liked my comment.
Oof. That may as well be giving you a middle finger.
Yeah, not sure me and old B. White are going out for drinks. I'm not sure he was
first
into
off,
it.
I give you credit. You're not only being a good person, but you're being a good colleague.
Sure.
By trying to get some fraternization, trying to get
team
some synergy going with your coworker. I give you a ton of credit. Now, B. White, Brennan White, who's been a great addition to the show. Let's be fair. He works nonstop. He's the U.S. team lead on the trading floor at DraftKings. Kind of a busy person.
Also feels like a guy who might have a family.
Well, he does have a family. He said on the air he had a family.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. I couldn't remember 100%.
sounds like a dude that not only has a family, but hello, adults that are going out every night don't take their job seriously.
Yeah, and you know what? I sound like a guy not invested enough in the friendship. That's what that sounds like. I got to invest more.
He double tapped you, and a double tap ending with a finger, like a thumbs up finger, is basically saying, I don't like you. Leave me alone.
I have a question. Like, I take when people like or love or thumbs down your comment, instead of them replying with a message like you can do on iMessage, like, I think that's them kind of blowing you off. If someone, even if you reply yes, no, or an emoji, I think that is more proper. Am I wrong? Am I looking too much into this?
Wait, what's your question again?
When people
we were just talking about how he blew you off by double tapping.
The double tap is a blow off. We can confirm that, right? Like liking.
Yeah. What do you? I just told you it's in the middle finger, and we went through a long question. Is what do you think it is? I said I think he's saying F you.
But I mean across the board always, because I mean you hit me with a lot of them during the day.
No. Not across the board. If you're in a rhythm with a friendship and or correspondence, and somebody hits you with thumbs up, that's just a continuation. That's a continuity of decorum. If you're writing the person for the first time, asking them to hang out, and he hits you with the thumbs up, I love Brennan White, but he doesn't like you.
No, it's a go away.
I'm not saying he should like you.
No, I don't like me a lot of times. But him doing that is like, hey, I'm acknowledging you said this. Now go away.
Right. Now, we have entered a new territory with the double tap. The double tap, even amongst men, really people have started to heart when they really mean something as opposed to thumbs up, because it even dude to dude, they know thumbs up is a blow off. So they're hitting other dudes with hearts because it's a little bit more sincere. Hello, it's the heart.
Do you know who hit me with hearts yesterday?
No.
Our guy, Brandon Anderson, sent him a message thanking him, dropped me with a little heart. And I went, you know what? I got to send more hearts to men. Men need to know how we feel about each other sometimes.
Okay. You do that, big guy. Now, speaking of which, tell me how you feel about, as far as, I guess you want to say support, right? You said you were looking around the D during the break, and maybe we can get a shot, a director chair, maybe we can get a shot of, it might not be that busy right now, but you said you saw a lot of Oregon and a lot of Washington jerseys. Based on what you're seeing right now, who's got the edge?
It was more Oregon, but slightly edged towards the Ducks. Good Washington representation. Also, a bunch of Iowas just popping around here. Like, good for you, Iowa. Acting like this weekend matters for you.
You're seeing Iowas?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're from Iowa, you're right. You're a Hawkeyes fan. Why would you want to go to the Big Ten championship game where it's awful? Why don't you come to Vegas and make it more fun?
I was going
to
say, if you're from Iowa and you're in Vegas right now, wave, Dustin. There you are on camera. If you're in Vegas, either your flight got diverted or you're skipping Indianapolis to avoid embarrassment. Because, like, you're Iowa. For those teams, the Iowas, the Minnesotas, the Northwesterns, these teams specifically in the West that have been kind of lunching and getting by in the Big Ten, when these teams come over from the Pac-12 running those spread offenses, it's about to get real different real fast for teams like Iowa. Can I get a freaking goal in Germany? I mean, I pull back the curtain a little bit. Mm. I have been getting murdered for three straight weeks. And you know a guy that's coming into town. You know a couple of guys that are getting into town. And you three are going to get up the shenanigans. Like, I got to be honest with you. Even if I lived there still, I would not hang out with the three of you. I'm just too old. It's just, well, that ship has sailed. But I'm just going to tell you this. You should thank me on the air. Because the dude that's coming to town that you're going to hang out with, I'm supporting all of you for this weekend's festivities because I only use his book for soccer. He doesn't know this, but I use other books for other because his numbers aren't great outside of soccer. So I only, but it doesn't matter. Over the past 3 weeks, I'm supporting everything you do this weekend and for weekends to come. And it continues today because I can't pick a freaking winner. Sorry. Go ahead.
So what are you on right now?
I'm Germany. I'm betting English championship. I'm betting Polish soccer. And all of them are coming up weeds, losers. So you're welcome. When you go to the Spearmint Rhino and you go all these shady, unsavory places this weekend and the bill comes and that one dude doesn't act like it phases him at all and says, get whatever you want. He's saying, get whatever you want on Patrick.
Yeah, when he goes to the VIP room with a young lady, I'm going to stop her before they go in and I'm going to say, you know what? This is brought to you by Patrick Maher.
Oh, no. It is. Trust me. And so is his house payment and his family's house payment and a family's house payment and a children's savings fund. And, well, we'll continue. When we come back, we're going SEC. We're going to Atlanta. Brooks Austin. Nobody's closer to this Georgia program than Brooks. He's going to tell you what's going to happen in Atlanta this weekend. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, the holidays are here. Let Omaha Steaks take the guesswork out of gifting. Go to omahasteaks.com and save 50% off site-wide everything. Plus, when you use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, at checkout, you get an additional $30, not percent, off your order. Send tender, juicy, butcher-cut filet mignons, mouth-watering burgers, gourmet, jumbo franks, or even easy-to-prepare meals that are ready in a flash. Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart and a gift that will be remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with complete confidence today, knowing that you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com. Take advantage of the 50% off site-wide. Plus, remember, VSIN at checkout. Get an extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. So, we've got the Pac-12 championship tonight, which we've been discussing, obviously. And then the biggie coming up on Saturday, Georgia-Alabama SEC championship game. Now, we do have Nick Saban coming up later in the show talking about the SEC deserves to be in the Final Four regardless. But let's ask somebody that knows better than most, and that is Brooks Austin, Dogs Daily lead editor. I think he is second in line at Georgia behind Kirby. That's really what Brooks is doing now. I mean, the dude is inside this. SI Fan Nation director of recruiting at Brooks Austin, B-A, on Twitter, and he joins us. Hi, Brooks. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Great. Thank you. Let me just give you a number, and you tell me if it's respectful or disrespectful either way. Georgia is laying 5.5 v. Alabama in Atlanta on Saturday. What does that number mean to you?
I think that number speaks strictly to the one advantage on a unit, which is the offensive unit for Georgia. Though Alabama's offense has sort of peaked over the last, I don't know, month or so, it hasn't been consistently as dominant and as consistently as great and efficient as Georgia's offense has been. Defensively, man, I can't separate the two. I know the stats can be separated between the two, but when you watch them on film, just body to body, guy for guy, they look relatively identical in terms of talent and how elite they are on the defensive side of the football. So I think that 5.5-point spread just goes to show, man, like, this Georgia football team has been a top five offense with regards to efficiency all year. A lot of people will say that they haven't really played, you know, a top 10 defense, whereas Alabama hovers around that top 15 range defensively. So it really is a pretty interesting matchup in terms of strengths.
Okay. Of course, Brooks, you also have the Film Guy Network on YouTube, which is awesome. A lot of great learning information there. You talked about the three things Georgia must do to beat Alabama. Let's discuss those three things. Before you get into the three in particular, how's Georgia's health going into Saturday?
You know, there's the questions about Brock Bowers and Lad McConkey and Tate Ratledge and Ra-Ra Thomas and Jamon Dumas-Johnson. And there's a bunch, right? There's five starters on the front of it right there, just offensively and defensively. Four of those guys playing the offensive side of the football. I expect, you know, Brock Bowers and Tate Ratledge to go. They dressed last week, and they've been participating in practice, it sounds like. It's Lad McConkey and Ra-Ra Thomas are the ones that are, you know, quote-unquote questionable entering this football game. I expect both football players to give it a go, if you will. Definitely with an ankle injury like what Lad McConkey has. A lot of tape and a lot of, you know, rehab going into that one. Going into that football game. So I expect him to be, you know, about 90%, I would say, 85-90% there. I don't expect Pop, the linebacker, Jamon Dumas-Johnson, to play probably until late December, early January, assuming they play in that time of the year.
Brooks, the evolution of Carson Beck, you and I discussed, I want to say it was week four of the season, and It was kind of vanilla on offense. But as the season went on, it seemed the playbook opened up. How much does he need Bowers? Does he need McConkey to be the guy that we saw putting up the bigger stats later in the season?
I mean, he survived the stretch, you know, midway through the year, three quarters of the way through the year, where Bowers was out for two games against, I think it was Florida and Missouri. That Missouri matchup, top 10 matchup, he goes into that game without Bowers. And, you know, I think they moved the ball relatively well offensively, and he answered the bell and answered the questions. The thing is about Carson, and Kirby spoke to this throughout the year, he's pretty consistently been the same guy all year long. And what that guy is the person who makes the right decision time in and time out and just operates within the offense. And I think when you look for an advantage in this football game, Alabama, guys, to me, is very, very schematically simple. They kind of just line up and play football because they can, because they have guys in every other matchup all year long that are just physically better than the man across from them. Well, that's not going to be the case every single down in this football game. When it comes to schematics, how multiple are you? Can you do a lot of things? Can you win a game in a multiple facets? That favors Georgia a ton in this matchup. They're just schematically a little bit more diverse than what Alabama has shown to be this year on both sides of the football.
So we saw it in 21. Brooks Austin joining us. We're talking Georgia, Alabama. If we have time, we can get to some of the other championship games as well. We saw it in 21. Georgia came in favored in that one, and Saban absolutely put a beatdown on Kirby and Georgia. Mm-hmm. Confidence-wise, like, there was confidence for Georgia going into that one. It doesn't feel like the confidence is equal here. What would you say if I painted it that way?
I mean, I think they feel like a confident bunch. They're just not flashy, man. And they don't talk, and it's not one of those things. The only thing I think that might portray some lack of confidence is just the vagueness with regards to the reporting on all the injuries. They are a banged up football team, man. But so is Bama on the other side of the football. When I talk to people inside the building and around the program, I mean, they're confident as they always are. They go in and play to the quote unquote standard. All the cliche stuff, I think, is why it really comes to fruit and comes to bear at this time of the year, because you can go and play to the full speed and the nature and ignore all the distractions because you're so brain beat into just playing to the standard and keeping the main thing and all the coach speak in the world. They truly live that in and out of that building. I think both of these programs do, to be honest with you.
You mentioned watching this Alabama offense on tape, Brooks. What are you seeing from Jalen Milroe, and how do you think this Georgia defense matches up? You know, they've lost so much talent over the last few years to the NFL draft. I believe 34 players drafted to the NFL. I think 8 were first round from the defensive side of the football over that time. How does this squad match up as currently put together versus what Milroe's been able to do over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I was fascinated going back to that simplistic nature of both of these, you know, offense and defense from Alabama. I went and charted every single snap against LSU because I was curious. I had a theory. I think he's more of a scrambler than he is a design runner, meaning I think they just let him get loose, or a lot of teams can't get him down when he scrambles, so he takes off chunk plays. They don't do a ton of design runs. That was my thought. So I went and charted every single rep against LSU. And of the 20 career, that's a career high in rushing attempts. Of the 20 attempts, 12 of them were scrambles. A 13th was a quarterback sneak on one of those Philadelphia, brotherly shove type plays. And then the other 7 were indeed like quarterback read option type stuff. We're a sprint option type of actual work, adding him into the run count. But they don't move him a ton. He drops from the same spot every single time. I think that's by design. So when you talk about advantages or what's the key or anything like that, hey, when this guy gets out of the pocket, we have to make sure he's doing so running around our defensive line, right? We can't let him get out of the pocket going straight through it. You cannot let this guy get north and south immediately, because he will be and is the most electric football player on the field when that happens.
Okay, so you broke down the tape, both Georgia and Alabama, Brooks Austin. Time for a prediction. Let's go. Walk me through it.
Yeah, I think Georgia's been consistently better on both sides of the football this year. The only way Alabama, in my opinion, wins this football game, it's a 24-18, just slobber knocker, ugly. Alabama's defense looks like the best unit in college football. I think more likely, I'm leaning more towards like a 34-21, Georgia controls the ball game type of performance for Georgia. They're really good offensively, man. I'm excited to see them actually have to play something other than vanilla. You mentioned them being vanilla offensively, and their schedule's been so that they can kind of be that way all year long. I'm excited to see what they can do.
Totally agree. Georgia's going to whoop Alabama. Mark that tape, big guy. You're going to whoop them.
Lay the points.
How different would our conversation be? A 4th and 34 doesn't connect. We're like, oh, Alabama's so disappointing. It connects, and it's only a 5.5-point game? You got to be kidding me. Georgia's going to absolutely roll them. Brooks, thank you. Dogs Daily Lead, of course, SI Fan Nation Director of Recruiting, and then the Film Guy Network on Twitter, excuse me, on YouTube, is a must-see at Brooks Austin BA on Twitter. Thank you, Brooks. Appreciate you. Enjoy the game.
No doubt, boys. Y'all have a good one.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I've been standing on it. Might as well just continue.
Yeah, we're just going to talk to Brooks again in a few weeks to preview the national championship when Georgia's
What's
in it.
What's the point in standing on a fence with the prediction?
Oh, I could see it going this way. I could see.
No. Like, Georgia's better than Bama.
Standing on a fence.
And the truth is, 4th and 34 doesn't connect. Bama, terrible year. Hits. Bama, chance to go to the Final Four. Wait, what? Against a team that's won 46 of 47? Saban's next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, we do have breaking news coming out of the NFL. That's coming up, quarterback news. Bet $5, get $150 instantly in bonus bets. DraftKings for new customers. Use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. So again, bet $50, get $150 on anything. You get $150 in bonus bets instantly, plus a no-sweat same-game parlay for everybody at DraftKings. The crown is yours. That's every eight buddy every day with the same game parlay. All right, we welcome you back. We'll get to the news. Just quickly to pay off the tease, I'm Patrick Maher. He's Dustin Sweetelson. So we were asking if Jordan Travis was playing for Florida State against Louisville, what would a bookmaker make the number? You said 6.5. I said I think it'd be a full touchdown. We both couldn't be further off. Now, this proves what we were talking about earlier, where everybody's trying to build it like one player doesn't make a team. Don't listen to it. All right. Jordan Travis is everything to Florida State. Thomas Gable said over at the Borgata, he would make the number 10. Do you have a response?
Wow. 10. I mean, Florida State's good. I get it. They're super talented, especially on the outside. But Louisville has the best running back in this game. And I think Jamari Thrash on the outside for them is every bit a big play receiver as you're going to find playing this weekend. So that's a 10 is a big number. At that point, I would have to bet Louisville on the points.
Would you? Same Louisville team with those players you just mentioned. Listen, I've been there before. When you get stuck, you just go to the team page. You start reading the players. I get it. But what did you bet the same Louisville team that went to Pitt and got beat? Come on now.
Look, I think this is an interesting team because they had a lot of transfers. I remember. I think it was like 16 transfers coming into the year with Brohm coming in his first year at Louisville. And I think it took them a while to get things situated. Now, at the same time, we mentioned it before, Jeff Brohm's a weird guy where he loses to teams he shouldn't lose, but he always gets up for the big ones. He'll give Florida State their best. He'll get their best in this one.
All right, so it would be 10, Jordan Travis. That's what one bookmaker. We'll see if Brennan writes us back. We'll find out. So we do have breaking news out of the NFL, and I don't know if this is the biggest surprise ever, but it is official. The Browns will start veteran quarterback Joe Flacco on Sunday versus the Rams. Denzel Ward also out as well. So let's take a look at the number right now. That number, Cleveland, TBD on my board, but it has been announced. And this is verified sources saying that Joe Flacco will get the start for the Browns against the Rams. That number, I'm still sitting. I got the Rams sitting 3.5. You got anything different?
DraftKings has 4. Move to 4. -112 juice.
Let me just see. Yep, 100%. 4. And a little bit above the standard juice of 110. So maybe headed to 4.5. I still do see a 3.5 in the market. So, again, Joe Flacco going to get the start for the Cleveland Browns. Denzel Ward out for the Browns against the Rams, who, frankly, with Seattle losing last night, the Rams are in a good spot in the NFC. Like, the Rams have 2 in hand against Seattle. They won last week. Again, this is a team right now that you would never have thought of coming into the year. I think their win total was set at 6.5. I think that's what you told me, big guy, for the Rams.
Yes.
And they're already sitting on, what are they, 5-6 right now? So they're going to get there, and they could potentially get to the postseason.
Well, look, they've got a banged-up Brown squad here. At Baltimore will be hard, but then they have Washington, New Orleans, and at the Giants before they finish with the Niners. There's a lot of winnable games in that stretch to close this thing out.
Reaction to Flacco, anything?
The most shocking thing was I thought it was going to come with a crazy tidbit. It's his last start since Week 17 of last year. I don't remember this. I did not remember Joe Flacco starting Week 17 for the Jets.
Yeah, what a disaster. All right. I did want to say we didn't give it out, so we can give it out now. If you guys want to get involved with us, 11 minutes, one of the plays from Thomas Gable, college basketball, is about to tip in a few minutes here, Dustin. We both played it, St. Thomas and Western Michigan, under 135.5. We played under 134, but just a festive mood as we round into December, big guy. We just handed out 2 plays today. Norfolk State, VCU, over 135. St. Thomas, Western Michigan, under 135.5. We played 134, and you got 2 if you want to become a VSiN pro with a dude that's 13 games above 500. So you can go over to VSiN.com/subscribe for Gable's other 2 plays.
Yeah, you know what that is? I'm trying to catch a vibe going the weekend. You talked about those guys looking to catch waves this morning. I'm trying to catch a vibe to start this weekend off on the right foot.
You know what it is on my part?
Hmm.
Benevolence.
I got to look up that word.
You've never heard of benevolent?
Well, I went to high school with a guy, Ben Evelyn, and he was not nice to me.
No, not the same. Saban, who's probably wouldn't be nice to you if you spoke with him, he was talking about the SEC. And Saban's always politicking. Look, listen, let me explain something. Because people are having these debates like, if Georgia loses, will they get in? If Alabama beats Georgia, yet Texas beats Oklahoma State, who will get in? Because Texas got the head-to-head win over Alabama. Let me be very clear. Crystal. I don't even know the rankings right now. Where's Bama and Texas, respectfully? Texas is ranked above Bama, right?
Yes.
I'm going to say something. And it could be a falsehood. If Saban, not Alabama, if Saban beats Georgia on Saturday and Sarkisian beats Gundy, Alabama's going to the Final Four. That's a lock.
Is it a lock? Because essentially,
then you tell me exactly what you think would happen in that scenario.
Well, no, I would want Alabama to go because I have
No. What you think happens. I'm telling you what I think happens.
I think the committee would say Alabama beat Georgia. That's the best win of the season, which actually makes Texas's win over Alabama an even better win now because they beat Alabama who beat Georgia. They've got to dissect it that way. The head-to-head has to matter.
Okay. We shall see, because that's a good – well, I don't know. I don't believe Alabama's going to beat Georgia, so I don't think that scenario is going to be out there. I think the biggest one, frankly, because right now Georgia controls its fate, Michigan controls its fate, Washington, Oregon both control their fate, and Florida State, that the only question is, do they control their fate? Florida State's going to beat Louisville. Let's just say that. The assumption is Florida State beats Louisville. But should they get in over – you know, Texas beat Texas with a much better, they by beyond measure, anything that Florida State has done.
But I guess the argument against me, though, is that can you really have a college football playoff without the SEC? Can you do it? The best league in the country? You know, it's always top heavy, but always the hardest teams to beat.
Saban says no.
Yeah, and this is what Nick Saban had to say when he was asked, will there be a college football playoff without the Southeastern Conference this year?
I think that the SEC is one of the best conferences in the country. I think Georgia is one of the best teams in the country. And I think that they're one of the best four teams in the country. I think if we beat them, we'd be one of the best four teams in the country. Because, you know, teams do, there's a transformation that goes through the season. So how are you playing now? Where is your team now? How good are you now? I think all those things, you know, come into play. But I think it would be a disrespect to the SEC if there is an SEC representation in the Final Four. I do believe that.
Politicking. Your boy Nick Saban right there doing some politicking, no?
Well, he's the most important state employee in the state of Alabama.
Who would be number two?
Whoever makes the second most money behind him, the strength and conditioning coach at Alabama, probably.
Exactly. You just made your point. Anyway, it's Alabama.
Do you have any presidents from Alabama?
No.
Odd.
Is it? Why is that odd?
What states have not produced presidents? Alabama, you Alaska? There's a lot.
Yes, of course there is. Of course there is. Anyway, do you agree with what Nick Saban had to say about the SEC getting in?
Well, it just means more in the SEC. Everyone knows that. That's their slogan. I would prefer the SEC to be in the mix, but Michigan will be there. Washington or Oregon will be there. I think Texas would have to go over one of those schools if Alabama pulls off the upset.
Over Georgia?
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. We shall see. This is anybody that's telling you that the committee has it easy this year, this
crazy.
Is by far the biggest mess they've ever experienced. Like, this is their worst nightmare.
This is the first year they're going, why can't we just do eight? Let's just do eight this year. It makes it easy.
Can we start this year? Yeah. Like, this is beyond the committee's worst nightmare because they're going to have to opine.
Well,
and they're going to have to opine more than they ever have. The conjecture, opinion, everything.
They could get some help this weekend. The teams could do what they need to do to make their jobs easier.
We shall see. Mike Samich, even after he big-timed us last week, is joining us next here. Sharp Money.
Never heard of him.